Yeah, it's always nice to be here. I just want to read just three portions as we consider the gospel together. First, reading Proverbs 29. And verse number 18 of Proverbs 29. Excuse me. Verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Just want to read the first half of that verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Luke chapter 19. And verse number 44 of Luke chapter 19. Well, get the context. I guess we should read in verse 41 of Luke 19. And when he was come near the Lord Jesus, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in and all on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And last reading, excuse me, Psalm 98. And we'll just read one verse of Psalm 98. The first verse. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. And the Lord will bless these few readings of his precious word. When I was in my early 20s, we lived in a town called Wolfville, Nova Scotia. It's got the famous Acadia University there. And we lived there a couple of years, and there's a graveyard that's there, and still there today, in Stars Point. And there's a very famous story about a young man in that graveyard around the turn of the 20th century. He just wandered. He had nothing to do. He was just passing time, and he wandered into this graveyard. He was just reading some of the headstones and thinking. He saw one that was flat down, and then he said, I don't know why. I was just curious what was on that one. So he lifted up this headstone, and on it, it's still there today, that there's a little poem. In peace, let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. He had heard the gospel, but he had never made it personal. But Jesus died for me. Now I know him. Now I love him. Now he's my life. He's number one above everybody else. This young man sat down and thought about that. That is the greatest event that ever happened, that ever will happen. It was Calvary. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Everything is all about Calvary and what happened there. Everything. This whole world. Past, future, today. It's all about one man. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Scientists don't know what holds atoms together. They shouldn't be held together. Physicists, I guess, and so on. They don't know. Why does the atoms stay together? Everything is made up of atoms. They call it an unseen power. That's what they call it. You know, the Bible says that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he create everything, he sustains everything. You can count on the seasons, you know. You can count on me. I'm a God of order. The Lord Jesus Christ is a God of order. And the things stay together because he loves sinners. That's what's holding everything together. I lately saw those pictures from the Hubble, you know, and it's taken a long time for them to get back. So far, the farthest star, they showed it. It's quite an amazing thing. They're way out there, you know, light years. Pictures are coming back. And it's just breathtaking to see the beauty of these stars. And then the farthest star they've got so far, right in the center of it, quite large, very prominent. It's black. They don't know what the black is. It's black. And it's in the middle of the star. It's large, too. Prominent, large, can't mistake it. And you know what it is? It is a cross. That's what it is. It's almost like God is saying to everybody down here, you know. You're not going to find anything out here. But you can find me. You can find me. If you think about the cross. Right back to the cross again. This young man, you know, that was the turning point in his life. That was the great day for him. When he finally understood what life was all about. And I know if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you don't know what life's all about. You can say you do. Write down that you do. But I know, through the authority of the Word of God, you don't know. You don't know why you're here. And your life doesn't really have any meaning or purpose. You're just going through one day after another in your life. Getting older. That's all. You're afraid to die. And you can very boldly say, I'm not afraid to die. Everybody's afraid to die. God says so. I put eternity in the heart of every person, God says. In Ecclesiastes 3:19. That's why we fear death. Somehow the devil is given the power of death. And through fear of death, the devil keeps men and women in bondage through fear of death. And we read over in 1 John that perfect love casteth out fear. Christians aren't afraid to die. So if you're saved this morning, you know you're saved. You know it. And you know that if you die, all is well with your soul. It's a marvelous thing. But to anyone here this morning, and God reveals to you very graciously that you're not his. Maybe you say you are. Maybe you said you were. But if he reveals to you this morning that, like, the jig is up, you know, who do you think you're kidding? Who do you think you're fooling? I talked that way to my boy a little bit months before he was saved. I said, the only person who believes you're saved is yourself. You know, this is so solemn. This is so serious a matter that we're talking about. Because you and me are going to die. And the Bible, we're not going to get any new revelations from God. It's right here. Now, when I die, I know, because the Bible says, I'll be absent from my body and present with the Lord immediately. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, God says, I have no pleasure in your death. I have no pleasure whatsoever in your death, because you died in your sins. You were not willing. You didn't want my son to reign over you. You didn't want him. You don't know my son. And I know the reason is you don't know my son is because you didn't want to know my son. There was no beauty in him that you should desire him. I know your heart. I know your thoughts. You didn't really desire him. You never searched for him in the Word of God. Basically, you spent your time living for yourself. Just doing those things that are right in your own eyes. That's how you live. God says the way we live is an evil way. Living independently of God. Just living independently of God is an evil way. That is sin. Bottom line, that's sin. That's what the devil wanted to do. Lucifer fell. That's what he wanted to do. Live a life independent of God. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. He caused Eve to doubt the Word of God. That's what he did. He put a slant on what God said. And she lost her confidence in God. And Adam and Eve then lived a life. You know, at that point on, everything was altogether different for them. And God is saving souls. You want to know what God's doing? What's God doing? Is he passively sitting up there or somewhere? No. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. He is an amazing God. Imagine him knowing what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking right now. And he knows why you don't want his son right now. We pray this morning that you won't let that go on any longer. So, prior to Salvation's Day, there has been something going on in the heart of an individual. It's the greatest miracle that could ever happen. There's an upheaval going on within. God deals that way. Guilt, my sins, my memory. And these things, I'm not feeling the same. God's dealing with me. His hands on me. People are praying for me, maybe. Then, salvation. Finally, when a man or a woman is ready to repent. Say, why didn't I see it before Jesus died for me? Because I wasn't ready to repent and turn. And that's the place you've got to get to. You know, if God's been dealing with you and you're thinking seriously about your future, it's a wonderful thing that you're here. Thank God that you're here. You haven't been taken out. You can still think and consider these things. And you must be born again. Think about that. The Lord Jesus, he can't make it any plainer. You must be born again. Understand that. You must repent. He said, if you don't, you'll perish. And you're not going to have any conversation with them, at the great white throne judgment. There's no conversation there. You'll know. You'll know as soon as you leave your body in death, you'll know instantly. Everything. You'll know everything then. Everything. And you'll know one thing. It's too late for me. It's too late. So, may God bless you. I'm very privileged, man, to be able to present the gospel. The gospel is a presentation of a person. And that person, as I've already said, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit had a vision. You know, sometimes we say, you know, looking through the corridors of time. Imagine this. This is how great God is. This is how great this blessed Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, he talks about corridors of time. Well, he, the Spirit of God, God the Father looked down through the corridors of time before there was time. There was no time. The Lord Jesus Christ hadn't yet created time, making the world and all these things, but they did. And we'll go to after creation, the fall, the sin, a helpless human race. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit looked down from heaven and beheld the terrible condition of fallen mankind. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Now they had a vision, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, of the Lord Jesus Christ having a bride, having a church, those who would believe on him. This is the vision. Now Job realized what was needed. Neither is there any daysman, one who can correct or justify. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that he might lay his hand upon us both. He knew what was needed. That would seem an impossibility, I'm sure, to Job. But God did it. He did it. The Lord Jesus Christ became the daysman, perfect man, perfect sacrifice, and laid his hands upon us both. The vision was a multitude of sinners cleansed of their sin, accepted by God. This is the vision of God. Saved people, saved. Wonderful Bible word. Would become his bride in life and throughout eternity. And we're also very privileged as God's people to suffer here for him. We're very privileged. Because if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. Genesis 2:18, God said this, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. That's quite a statement. Remember, Neil Young had a song years ago called "A Man Needs a Maid." Well, a man does. I starved to death, though, my dear wife there with me. It's not good for the man to be alone. And what a statement. There's the sun. It's all a picture. The whole Old Testament is a picture of Christ. From the side is a wife. And the Lord Jesus had a spear thrown through his side, pierced in his side, the blood. It's not good that the man should be alone. How is he going to make a bride for his son? And therein is the gospel. The Lord Jesus would come down from heaven and die on the cross, take the place of every one, die for your sins, that you might be saved from your sin. It's an eternity with him. You've got to think about eternity. Think about eternity this morning, please. Not tonight. Don't think about tomorrow or this coming week or what's going on. Don't do that. This is an opportunity God is giving you. He's giving you this opportunity right now. If you're here and you're not saved and you don't take advantage of it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, you will remember this morning for eternity. It will haunt you. Eternity. Life goes by so fast. Eternity. Can I understand it? No. But I can read it and believe it. That's what God wants us to do. Read it and believe it. The bride of Christ is made up of sinners who have seen their need of cleansing of sin. They come under conviction. They're convicted with their empty life. What is the meaning of this anyway? You know? They get sick and tired of being sick and tired. The way I'm living. And I now turn. I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't. If you do, God will let you. That's all. He speaks to your heart. He's been very good to you this morning. tell God right in your heart you don't want to live for yourself anymore. He knows your heart. I've had enough. Oh, and I want your son. I want your son. He died for me. I believe on him. He's the only way to heaven. And you say, if I believe on him, I'm saved. So then, God, I thank you that I'm saved. There's more than that. Well, actually, no, there's no more than that. There's no more than that. That's what God wants from you. That's his vision. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Called out company of people, his church. In all the buildings we see around. Called out company of people. Ecclesia, the church. Yeah, I'll build my church. That's what he's doing. That's what God's doing. What's he doing in your life? What's he been doing in your life? In his great love for you, he's been seeking. He's been calling you. He's been calling you all your life. God speaketh once, yea, twice, man perceiveth it not. He's building his church. Acts 26:19, Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't disobedient unto the heavenly vision of him and the church. 2,000 years now, he's been building his church. One day, it'll be finished, and we're going home, those of us who are believers. I really don't, the longer I'm saved, it's difficult for me to understand how people live their lives out there without Christ. No future, no hope. So, the vision brought the visitation. And the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, you know, thou knewest not that the time of thy visitation. They didn't know. They didn't really want to know, did they? That's the Christmas story. The visitation is coming to Christ. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He said to the Jews, you didn't even recognize the time of your visitation. 2,000 years, people have not really recognized the time of the visitation of God. Haven't done it. Never really thought about it. Psalm 40 is prophetic. It's about Christ. And said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O my God. 7 centuries before Mary brought forth a child, Isaiah 7, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah 9:6, listen to how it's worded. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, isn't that an amazing statement? Child is born, and a son is given. Father gave his son. Son was inside that little baby. Almighty God, omnipotent. Came unto his own received him not. Small number expected him. There standeth one among you whom ye know not, John 1:26. Because this morning it applies to you. He's standing here among you outside your heart's door and you don't even know him. All he wants you to do is long to know him and tell him so and thank him for dying for your sins and make an about face this morning and embrace him. Say, Lord, I want to be a new woman. I want to be a new man. I want my life to count and mean something. That's what I want. As many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? For the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Thank God he visited us. God manifested in the flesh. Now, why did he come? Well, to fulfill the vision. Came to come like us. Then there was a voluntary offering of himself for sin. Genesis 22, God said, Abraham said to his son Isaac on the altar. Isaac said, you know, the fire and the wood and so on, you don't see a sacrifice. And what Abraham said is so marvelous. It's so beautiful. He said, my son, God shall supply himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Isn't that beautiful? He will supply a lamb. And he did, didn't he? The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how much I've talked about our part and our goodness this morning? The reason I've been silent about that is because we don't have any. There's none good, no, not one. We're all the same. Notice everything is God. Everything is God. He's done everything. What more do men and women want God to do? I don't understand. What do you want? You know? Your life's empty. You have a big hole in your heart. You know you've got a big hole in your heart. You can't fill it with anything out there under the sun. You know it. All these years? Have you known the gospel? Have you known? Are you outside your house door waiting? You're still going on day after day. Eternity. Never mind this life. What does it matter? What does it matter that I accomplish in this life? Luke 16, the rich man died, buried, there's a funeral going on. Probably all kinds of people, dignitaries, and wealth, and big fancy funeral. Maybe a beautiful tombstone, so on. You think that man cared one wee bit? No? The man's in hell. The Bible tells you he's in hell. Tormented. You think you'll care yourself if you die in your sins and go to the eternal prison house because of your rejection of Christ? Understand, that's why. Because of your rejection of Christ. You wouldn't have him reign over you. You see? You wouldn't have him reign over you. That's the problem. You won't think about this life. You'll think about mornings like this. That's all. It's all about Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything is going to vanish away one day gone. You're going on forever. And if you're not with Christ, with him, he says you're against me. So don't be thinking, please don't be thinking that you're somewhere in the middle. There's nobody here in the middle in this room. Nobody. You are either out of sin and in Christ and love him. You know if you love him or not. Or you are either out of your sins and in Christ, or either in Christ and out of your sins, one or the other. You're saved, you're lost. So which is it? Saved, you're lost. When were you born again? Being born again, bowing my head and saying a little prayer, Jesus, I thank you, you died for me, and so on, amen, amen. No, it's not being born again. It's not God's salvation. If you were to be to fund it. I've been preaching the gospel, I thank God, 25 years. If you were to be to find it. If you. A person who bows their head, and it's simple, somebody God's been dealing with. A people, finally. And God's brought you here today to hear about what life is all about. It's all about you. It's you. It's all about you. He loved you. He died for you. He wants you to come to him and believe on him this morning. What must I do to be saved? Believe, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God says, I'm saved, I'm saved. That's that. Voluntary offering. He shall offer of it of his own voluntary will. Something performed, accomplished, undergone on behalf of another. So what was he doing on the cross? Well, it says that he was there for me. He was there for you. That's why he was there. Because he loves you. Love caused him to go there. He says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Isaiah 53:6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The man was walking down the street. He only had half a leg, a cane, the war veteran. Christian man met him, said, sir, well, thank you for being wounded for me. Nobody had ever said that to him before. He said, thank you. He said, may I give you a little something to read? Tells you about somebody who was wounded for you. Isaiah 53. He's wounded for your sins, for your transgressions. All your iniquities were laid on. And he wants to bless you. May God bless you. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was there for you. He was there for me. There was a plague. I don't know exactly when. A doctor, it was in Marseille. They needed to dissect the body to find out what was wrong. but to dissect the body mean that you would probably be dead within 12 hours. But Dr. Guillaume said, I'll do it. People were dying. It was spreading. They had to find out. The cutting into the corpse would help. He made out his will and went, and he did that. Wrote the results. They did find the cure, and the plague was stopped. Dr. Guillaume died within 12 hours. So those people live because Dr. Guillaume died. That's a very small comparison. We can live forever because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, for my sins and your sins. A little girl just said simply to her mother, I thank God that Jesus was punished instead of me. That's it. There's no more to the gospel. The vision, it's all God. Hesitation, voluntary offering, and the victory. He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The victory. Bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The greatest battle ever fought was fought in silence and in darkness on a little hill called Golgotha. Greatest battle ever fought. The Lord Jesus Christ, power of sin, power of Satan, defeated death. Grave, where's your sting? You know? Death, someone said in a mocking way, where's your victory now, death? The Prince of Life gave himself and died. Even though you, death, had no claim on me, because I never sinned. Where's your victory? There's no victory for death. You'll see people smiling at Christian funerals. Because we know. Did you ever notice that? The Christians know. I know you can tell we know. Sure as heaven as though we're already there. Yes, there's her body, but she's in heaven right now. I know that because the Word of God says so. We know. God wants you to, for the first time in your life, to believe Him. Believe the Word of God. Believe it. Forget everything else. Forget everybody else. The Bible. It's Him, Christ. You either know Him or you don't. You have an opportunity this morning. God often speaks. This is God's method of reaching people, by the way. Write this. This is, we speak in gospel meetings sometimes. Oftentimes, God says, because the Spirit of God will work in a gospel meeting, and somebody will come in, maybe not thinking about things, and the Spirit of God will work. And during the meeting, something begins to happen to you. You begin to feel a little convicted, and you realize it's God calling you. That's no small thing, is it? Imagine. He's saying, I'm going to give you, this is another opportunity for you. Just come to my Son. There has to be salvation's day. There has to be the time. But in my heart of hearts, I tell Him. But I know, Lord Jesus, You are the only way to heaven. I'm helpless, hopeless. But I thank You, You died for me. You invite me to come to You to be forgiven. I come. And by faith, 100% faith in You, Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise of God, saved if my faith is in You, the Father, God says saved. Everlasting life. Never perish. Never cast out. And I claim the promise. And I tell people that I am saved. I am. That's what God wants you to be able to say. What is the point of your life? God has been seeking all your life to bring you to the end of yourself. The only ones who are going to be victors in this world, the only ones who are going to triumph in this world, are those who surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you begin to live. Of course, life has not made any sense to you so far, because you haven't got life yet. We need the life of God in us. He's delighted to give it to us forever. Holy Spirit indwells the body. And I am no longer the same person. It's not I, but Christ liveth in me. He wants to live in you. It's all through faith. It's all through faith. His mighty victory at the cross. Just in closing, well, the other V's, the victory, I just mentioned them. The vow, I will come again. And the vanishing, ready to vanish away, that's the church. And then the last one is the vengeance of God. You don't have to be there. Dr. McKay, he was a Christian on his way to catch a train, and he was running late. And just finished a gospel meeting, and he heard these footsteps, and there was a young man actually chasing him. And he said, he's Dr. McKay. He said, yes. He said, I'm sorry, I haven't got time to stop to talk. I got to catch the train. So he walked along beside him, I was running. And he said, I want to know how to be saved. And he did. He wanted to know how to be saved. God spoke to him that night. So he said, you got your Bible. You turn your Bible to Isaiah 53. The young man's flipping. They come to a street light. He said, did you find it yet? He said, yes. So they stopped. And he took the young man's Bible. And he read the verse out loud to him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He said, young man, you go in low down at the first all. All we like sheep. And you walked out of that verse straight up at the last all. The iniquity of us all. And he walked away. You know, that's all it took. The young man went home. He went in low down. All we like sheep. That means me. Astray. Sinner. Gone astray. So you low down. You see, you've got to go in low down to the knees of Christ, broken in a contrite heart over my sin, thanking Him for being so good to me, and thanking Him for a wonderful future, assurance of heaven, and all these things. It's a decision that we have to make on our own. But you make a decision this morning. I don't know you. A lot of you, you make a decision. You'll decide just to carry on, you know. Look around your friends. Yeah, they're still, you know, they're reasonably happy down here. I guess I'll just go back to my old life. You'll do that. Or maybe you'll make this the day of days for you. You won't be looking around at friends or family or anything else. Just this book. Thinking about your Savior, one who wants to be your Savior, and your destiny. That's what's important. Destiny. We choose. And I choose Christ. Then I'm choosing heaven. May God bless. We just pray. Father, we give thanks for this day, the Lord's day. Father, as a Christian, thy word tells us when we awake, thou art still with us. Thy compassions fail not. They are new unto us every morning. How blessed, Father, is that. And Father, how blessed to wake up on the Lord's day morning to remember this is the day to honor thy Son. We thank thee for him, for the simplicity of the gospel story, thy love. Father, thou knowest the needs of all here, and if there are any whom thou hast been dealing with, we pray, Father, that they might make this the day. We pray that the wicked one would not steal away the seed. We pray, Father, for salvation. And we understand and acknowledge salvations of the Lord. This we ask in his name and honor and glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.